We are so glad you've joined Baraka Church as Pastor Jonathan Smith begins the series, Redo. Have you ever found yourself filled with dread in a terrible situation only to wake up from a dream? There are many times in life we wish we had or hadn't done something, and it sits heavily on our hearts. Today we are talking about our greatest opportunity at a new beginning, and for many, their next step.
Well, good morning again. Glad that you are here. And those who are watching online, we welcome our eFam today. And you are important to us. And we are glad to have you as well. And those who are in person today, I need your help. So please give me some feedback. I got a couple questions for you as we begin this today. First of all, how many of you, this is your, you were here last week. Raise your hand. You can pat yourself on the back or pat the person next to you. You have perfect attendance so far this year. I cannot say that. I got this little thing called COVID that took me out last week, but I'm glad to be back this week and glad to be here. And I appreciate Pastor Jeff Slider filling in for us and doing a great job, and especially on a short notice. And so I appreciate him doing that. But obviously, that ruined my perfect attendance for the year right off the bat. But I'm glad that some of you have perfect attendance. Second question, how many serious coffee drinkers do we have? I mean, like serious coffee drinkers. Like if you could IV yourself with coffee, you'd be just fine, right? These are the addicts that just raised their hand. I want you to know that, that have their hand up. One of the very first times I ever went into Starbucks, I didn't know there was a whole language and lingo you had to know. I went in and at Starbucks, and now I look back, it's kind of embarrassing, but I walked in and I said, I would just like a small iced coffee. Maybe you could put some Hershey syrup in it or something, because I like that. And they're like, oh, you mean an iced mocha coffee? And I said, is that the coffee slushy thing? Because that's what I want. And they said, oh, you mean a frappuccino? And I said, like a frappe, McDonald's, because that makes me happy. A frappe makes me happy. And so they said, okay, one tall mocha frappuccino. I said, no, I want a small one. And they said, that is our small. The tall is a small. And I said, the small is a tall. And they're like, yes. And I didn't know there was a whole language that you had to learn. But I found out really quickly that there's this whole language. And then I went a couple months later with a pastor friend to a conference, and we walked into another Starbucks, and he said, I would like a venti triple shot caramel espresso macchiato with an extra shot of espresso and a shot of hazelnut. And I thought to myself, what kind of mixed up mafia drink did he just order? I mean, I don't even know. And there's all this lingo, a cafe misto and an espresso con panna and an Americano and all this stuff. And I still don't understand what any of that stuff is. I still can't get myself as a pastor to order a dirty chai latte. It just seems inappropriate to me. But that's the same experience that some people have with church. You walk into the church and there's this church lingo. And you may feel out of place and don't know the rules. And at times you may feel embarrassed. You don't know what everyone else is talking about, that they know about, but you don't know about. You don't know what really is going on. You accepted Jesus as your Savior maybe along the way, but you don't know the lingo. You showed up at church and people were singing and someone was raising their hand, and you didn't know that there was questions during the songs that you could be asking, and somebody else had two questions that they were asking. And perhaps you have a lot of questions about this Christianity thing, or you're confused about it. Jesus never meant for Christianity to be confusing. Amen. It's the simplest thing to ever happen, and religion has made it confusing. I can boil the Bible down to one word. You take the thick Bible, the big book, and I can boil it down to one word, and that one word is Jesus. Every ounce of Scripture points to Jesus. I can boil Christianity down to two words: follow me. In the Gospels, when Jesus was calling people to leave their life, he said two words to people every time. You know what Christianity is? It's responding to those two words for the rest of our lives: to follow me, follow me, follow me. because the goal is to follow Jesus and become more like him every day of our life. And one of the things I don't want as a pastor is when people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior to say, oh, we're glad that you accepted Jesus. Here's a book. Here's a program. Here's a formula. And I'm all for teaching and discipleship and teaching people to grow. But everyone in this room and everyone watching online is at a different place in their spiritual growth. We're all at different spiritual levels. And here's my prayer for everyone watching or listening today, that we will continually take the next step in our relationship with Jesus. That as we walk into 2021, we just won't sit down and be comfortable with where we left 2020, but we'll continue to take the next step that God has for us. And here's what I know about you. God is at work in your life. For some of you, your next step is to begin to read the Bible every day. Like, that's your next step that you need to take, is to just decide, like, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you allot, but every day, consistently, you're going to read the Bible. For some of you, your next step is to begin to establish a daily prayer time each day with God, where you speak to God, where you talk to God. For some of you, your next step is to begin serving. For some of you, your next step is to begin giving. For some of you, your next step is to trust Him as your Savior, to cross over the line from spiritual death to spiritual life. We're all at a different place in our spiritual journey. My question going into 2021 is, what is your next step that God is asking you to take? Because it's not just to stay where you're at and be comfortable where you're at, but it's to continually to follow Him. Christianity is not just about a program or a project or a pill. It's about a person and responding to His words, follow me for the rest of our life. So today I want to talk about something that has become confusing, that was never meant to be confusing. This is Jesus talking in Matthew 28, verse 18. He says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which we need to pause there, because next time you're tempted to worry or freak out, I want you to remember this verse. As a matter of fact, some of you, like, you're worrying and freaking out right now. You need to remember this verse. You need to write it down. You need to put it up on your walls and in your car and in your lunchbox or wherever, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus has all authority. The word all in the Greek still means all. Every single ounce of authority in the universe belongs to God. He has all authority, which means we don't have to freak out what's happening politically or what's happening in our world or what's happening anywhere, because the Bible tells us He raises up kings and kingdoms and brings down rulers and governments. If chaos breaks out later today, if you wake up tomorrow morning and the world is not the way you know it to be, if the pandemic continues or another pandemic starts, He has all authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. If this world erupts this week, if all breaks loose this week, remember, we have a sovereign Lord who has all authority. And some of us need to remember that and continue to remind ourselves of that as we go through 2021, that God is in control, that Jesus reigns. He has all authority. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, He's saying, I want to see people far from God meet me and accept the payment that I made for their sins. He's saying, I didn't die on the cross because I didn't have anything else to do. I wanted people to have hope. I wanted people to have meaning in life. I wanted people to have a purpose in life. So I want you to take the message to the world that Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He has the hope the world's looking for. And when everybody else is freaking out, that's the hope they're looking for. That it's not in a government, it's not in a person, it's not in whatever we're putting our stock in. It's in Jesus. He's the hope of the world. Amen. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love that. At the very end, he throws that back in there, like, I am with you always, no matter what happens. I have all authority. Teach people that I'm the hope, that I've come and that I'm the Savior. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Like, there's never going to be a time where you're not going to be without him. He's always there. Jesus said the very first step, though, after receiving Christ is baptism. So I want to go back and revisit the subject of baptism again today. And this is something that I believe is important enough to be taught regularly. And so every 18 to 24 months, we teach on baptism, especially with as many people that have God's allowed us to see accept Jesus Christ at Baraka Church, either online or in person. I think this is something that we need to regularly know and be familiar with. And so I want to look at four things today that all of us need to know about baptism. The foundation of this church is the Bible. Make no mistake, we believe God's word from Genesis to the maps. I really don't care what a man says. I really don't care what a woman says about any subject. I do care what the Bible says about a subject, because the Bible has all authority. And according to God's word, not a church, not a denomination, this is what we believe about baptism. I want to give you four things. First of all, baptism is all about going public. Baptism is all about going public. Now, how many of you are planning to watch the National Football Championship game tomorrow night? At least part of it you'll watch. Hopefully, we don't have to watch it all, because it's going to be like, we just won't have to watch it, hopefully, all the way through. But a lot of us are planning on watching it. Now, here's what I know. Like, some of you are representing your colors today. Most of you are representing one of the teams, or the team that is in the game tomorrow night. A few of you have chosen to go. We won't even get to that. But all over Ohio and all over this country, there will be people gathered together cheering on their team. And I've already seen on social media, like, posts about asking what people are going to have food preparations. And people have responded, like, with Buckeye ice cream, Buckeye candies, different things. People have posted pictures of their table set up with the team colors all over it. I don't know how many there will be watching in person. I don't know how many tickets they've given out for this game in the limited capacity, but I can guarantee you every single person walking through the gates in Miami tomorrow night will be wearing and representing the team that they're cheering for. Everyone at the game will go public for their team. Everyone will. There's not no one who goes to that game that sits in the stands in neutral colors. Nobody's just going to dress in just brown or tan and say, well, I'm polling for a team, but I'm not telling anybody who I'm polling for. They're not going to do that. You see, I think football is a kind of a private thing, so I'm just going to dress in all light gray tomorrow night. I'm not going to let anybody know. It's really between the team and me, and nobody else has to know about it. I mean, if I cheer too loud, I may offend someone from the other team and they might feel uncomfortable. So this is my deal. I'm going to sit in the stands and watch the game in silence. Nobody's doing that, especially when you have limited amount of people that are going to enter that thing. They're going to paint themselves up. They're going to wear wigs. They're going to do everything to identify with the team that they are cheering for and polling for. We go public for our favorite teams. Now, there'll be people sitting in their living rooms all gathered around tomorrow night by themselves with just their family wearing their team colors when nobody else can see. But they're going to represent their team by themselves in their own homes. Do you know what baptism is? It's going public for Team Jesus. It's going public for Team Jesus. Jesus Christ went public for you and me when he died on the cross for our sins. For you and me to sit in the stands and say, I will not go public, just doesn't make any sense. You may know that the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, It literally means to dip underwater. It was literally used to describe ships that were sunk in battle. 2,200 years ago, it wasn't even used in association with anything religious. The word was not associated with church. It was just a normal, everyday word. About 2,200 years ago, the Jews began to use it as part of a ceremony for Gentiles who wanted to convert to the Jewish beliefs. And so they would say, I need to change the way I think. I need to change the way I live. I want to live the Jewish lifestyle. I want to think like the Jewish person. I want to behave like the Jewish teachings. I need to adapt the way of that teaching. I want to convert to Judaism. And so they had a five-step process. Number one, men would have a minor surgical procedure called circumcision. They would have a special meal with certain elements that came out of the Old Testament. They would make a sacrifice on an altar. They would commit to the law of Moses, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. They would agree and commit to abiding by those and following those, the law of Moses. And then fifthly, you would baptizo yourself. It was a significant event symbolizing you washing the way you used to live. And that you were becoming a brand new person. You were saying, I'm changed. I'm not a Gentile person anymore. I believe in the Jewish rules and regulations. That is when it began to take on some religious significance. About 200 years later, there was a man who came on the scene preparing the way for Jesus named John the Baptist. The Baptist was his nickname. In other words, it was John the Baptizer. John the washerman. Luke chapter 3 verse 2 says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John began teaching that it's not enough just to say that you believe in God. You actually have to begin to live the way that God says to live. You have to make a change in your life. And by the way, anyone can say they're a Christian. But if we're followers of Jesus, it will be evident and it'll show in our lives. And we need to turn from the ways we're living and begin to live like it. People, we're like, you know what? He's right. He's right. I believe John the Baptist. And John began to teach people that if you believe this, you need to identify yourself publicly. You need to go public to let others know that you have changed. And John the Baptist would baptizo people, signifying that these people believed what he was teaching was right. I'm becoming a brand new person. I'm a changed person. I'm going public, identifying with what John is teaching, and I want those around me to know it. And that is why Jesus said, go public in your faith, identifying your desire to become a brand new person. You may wonder, how important was baptism to Jesus? We can look at his example in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, and then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. What's so significant about that is from Galilee to Jordan is a 60-mile walk. From here to the Jeffersonville outlets, in other words, that's a long walk. Why would he do that? Probably even the most passionate shoppers among us today, if that was the only place you could go shop this week, you're not going to take that 60-mile walk to the Jefferson Outlet to shop. Why would he do that? Because it was important to him to go public. Every reference before Jesus' baptism, he was known as a carpenter. And what's fascinating is every reference after his baptism, he was known as the Messiah. I'm changing my identity. He laid down the carpenter tools and said, I'm the Messiah, the King of the world. And he did that at his baptism. We're called to go public through baptism. It's the first step we're to take as followers of Jesus. But here's the second thing I want us to know. Baptism is all about being obedient. Baptism is all about being obedient. Parents, what's the number one question your children ask when you tell them to do something? Why? 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 There's not one parent that says, I love it when my children question my authority. I just want to hug them. I love when they ask the question, why? Go clean your room. Why? Go do your homework. Why? I need you to help me. Why? Turn off the TV. Why? We need to go to the store. Why? Right? Why? As a parent, aren't there times when you just want to say, listen, I am your father. I am your mother, and I brought you into this world, and I will take you out of this world. Yes. Wouldn't it just be nice if your children didn't ask you why? Like, go clean your room. Yes, Father, is there anything else I can do after I'm done with that? Right. Well, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be like the ideal day? Like, that would just, I mean, that would be perfect. Like, your curfew is 11 o'clock tonight. Okay, Mother, I'll be home at 10:45 so I'm not late. Wouldn't that be great? And as a parent, the most common answer to why is, because I said so. Because I said so. Right? I said so. Isn't it nice when your children just do what you say? It's no different with God. It's no different with God. God is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. In Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Getting baptized is the first thing Jesus commands us to do. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Being a Christian is all about saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, what you tell me to stop doing, I'll stop doing. Yes, Lord, what you tell me to start doing, I'll start doing. Yes, I'm going to trust Jesus with my life. Way too many people view the Christian life differently. Too many people, they view it much like we do the game of Monopoly. You know, you play the game of Monopoly and you go around and around and around and around the board. And the goal is to accumulate as much stuff as you can. You keep going around the board accumulating stuff. And then you get the get out of jail free card. And that allows you to talk a little extra smack because you can become a little more carefree because there are no consequences. It's no big deal if you get sent to jail because you have the pass to get out of jail. That is the way too many people treat Christianity. They go around and around in life collecting as much stuff as possible, and they do whatever they want to do, and they treat salvation as a get-out-of-hell card free, but nothing ever changes in their life. You can't meet Jesus and stay the same. People say, I met Jesus and nothing changed. Then you probably didn't meet Jesus. You probably just said a prayer. You can't meet Jesus and stay the same. Being saved is all about saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want. And that is why I don't understand when people say, do I have to get baptized? So let me answer your question with a question, if that's your question today. Do you mean you want to take the fact that because of our sin, we were separated from a holy God? Jesus came all the way from heaven. He lived a life he shouldn't have lived. He died a death he shouldn't have died. He went to the cross for us. He took a beating for us. He was mocked and spit on for us. His flesh was ripped from his body for us. He hung naked on a cross for you and for me. They put him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead just as he said he would. He ascended up into heaven. He promises to always be with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us. The moment we receive him into our life, he power washes our soul, gives us hope, gives us peace, gives us meaning, gives us all kinds of things. And the moment we die, he is there to greet us and to show us a place in heaven for all eternity. You're going to take all that he's done for you, and the first thing he asks you to do, you're going to say, do I have to? Someone that has done so much for us, why wouldn't we want to? Why? Because he said so. Do you know who I have incredible admiration and respect for? I have incredible admiration and respect for so many that I've never met before, that one day I'll spend eternity with, those in other parts of the world that will be baptized today or have been baptized in the past weeks or months or years, those who by making their decision to follow Jesus public will be disowned by their families. People that knowing that when I go public for Jesus, my family will disown me. I will have no relationship with my mother or my father. Those who by declaring their allegiance to Jesus will be hunted down and killed in some cases. You talk about a calculated decision to follow Jesus. When they're baptized, there is no doubt that they are all in. What a privilege we have to identify with Jesus publicly. And Jesus himself was baptized, and the Bible says that it pleased God, Matthew 3:16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Even Jesus was baptized to show how significant it is. Baptism is all about being obedient. Number three, baptism comes after salvation. Baptism comes after salvation. The two questions I have for you today are these. Number one, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And number two, have you been baptized since committing your life to Him? Since accepting Jesus, have you been baptized? Maybe it's been in the last few weeks at Baraka Church. Maybe it was in another church. Maybe it's someone who accepted Christ this year or 5 years ago or 15 years ago. I'm not asking when you started believing in Jesus. When did you make a conscious decision to give your life to Jesus and follow him? When did you do that? And have you been baptized since that decision? I know a guy whose story went like this. He said, when I was 5 years old, I walked into this church and I prayed a prayer. I didn't understand what sin was. I didn't understand who Jesus was. I didn't understand what being saved was. I just heard someone say, you need to come forward and get saved. And so I just went forward and they led me through this prayer. And so then they came to him and said, you need to get baptized. And so he said, I was baptized at this Wesleyan church. He said, at the age of 12, I began to run from God, and I didn't go to church any longer. And later in his teen years, he began attending a Baptist church, and he wanted to join the church because his friends were joining the church. And he told the pastor, I want to join the church. And the pastor asked him, have you been saved? Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized by immersion in a Baptist church? And so he was baptized. He said, and then 2 months later, something happened. I realized that I had never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and so I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I go to the pastor, and I told him I got saved, and the pastor said, that's great. Now you need to get baptized. He said, I just got baptized. I've been baptized twice now. Do I need to get baptized again? And his pastor said, yes, you do, and let me explain why. According to the Bible, not our church, not our denomination, the first two times you were baptized, all you did was get wet. You didn't commit your life to Jesus Christ. It would be equivalent to someone going out and buying a wedding ring but never getting married. Just because you wear a wedding ring does not mean that you're married. A wedding ring is an outward symbol of a commitment that you've made. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward commitment. It always comes after salvation. Acts 2:41, so those who received his word were baptized. Those who received Jesus were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls all throughout Scripture. There's this progression. Receive the word, receive Jesus, and we're baptized. Receive the word, and then we're baptized. Which answers two basic questions that people have often. Number one, I prayed a prayer when I was younger and then later accepted Jesus. Do I need to get baptized again? And the answer is yes, because baptism comes after salvation. It doesn't matter how many times you've been dunked, sprinkled, or spit on, baptism comes after salvation. It always does. The second question is, what about babies? And it's a touchy subject in some churches, but I just want to tell you what the Bible says, because again, it doesn't matter what a person says. What matters is what the Bible says. I've never met anyone that said, I remember being baptized as a baby. I never met anybody that said that they remembered their baptism as a baby. Infant baptism was an incredibly significant and powerful moment in the life of your parents. Because at that moment, they were dedicating you to the Lord and praying that one day you would eventually cross over the line of faith. And there are some denominations that believe because you sprinkle a baby, that assures the baby will one day go to heaven because they were baptized as an infant into a church or into a denomination. And I love you enough to tell you that that's not what the Bible teaches. You don't go to heaven because water was sprinkled on you as an infant. You go to heaven because you personally make a conscious decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you saw a little baby, a little infant wearing the cutest little OSU outfit there is, and I think every baby ought to have that in their repertoire all the way through. I just think they do. And if your baby doesn't, I will help you get that in your repertoire. I'll have no problem with that. But if you just see that little baby, that little three-month-old baby wearing that OSU outfit, you don't say, oh, that baby chose to pull for the Buckeyes. Nobody says that. You would say, obviously, daddy dressed the baby, right? Or maybe mom dressed the baby. You would know that the three-month-old can't choose their team. They may, as parents, hope and pray that their son or daughter will grow up and go to OSU one day. They may hope and pray that their son will grow up one day and sit beside them on the couch and cheer for OSU in a national championship game. But the reality is, they may go to the school up north. They may cheer for the team that you don't want them to cheer for. You can't pick their team for them. Just like you can't pick the team they'll pull for, you can't choose Jesus for them. They have to choose Jesus for themselves. And my prayer was that my kids would respond to the call of God on their life and accept Jesus Christ. But I could not make that decision for them. And those of you that were baptized as babies, your parents can't make that decision for you. You must make that decision for yourself to respond to Jesus. And then the next step is to follow Jesus in going public by baptism. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you're committing your life to following Him, you should view that as a fulfillment of your parents' prayers and desires when they baptized you as a baby. That's my parents' wishes coming true. Why do we baptize by immersion? Because that's what the Bible teaches. There's a Greek word for sprinkling. It's rhino. It is never used in the context of baptism. There are 27 references to baptism in the book of Acts, and every one is baptizo, and it's always after salvation. Which leads us to number four. Baptism is a powerful reminder. Baptism is a powerful reminder. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go with my eighth grade daughter to Washington, D.C. for her trip. And I'd never been there before. I'd never seen the memorials. And obviously all the memorials are somber and it just amazes you as you look through them and the thought that they're powerful. They're great tributes on display. I can remember going to the Vietnam Wall, which I had seen pictures of over and over and over, but I'd never seen personally. And I can remember just how powerful that was to me to watch. But what was even more powerful is to watch some of those Vietnam veterans as they would wheel their wheelchair down or kind of stagger down the wall, and they would be looking for certain names, and they would get to the place and they would push themselves up out of their chair the best they could, and they would take their fingers and rub them across the name. And I thought how powerful that was. And they would stand there with tears in their eyes. And I thought it means something to them because they were there. The truth is, it will never mean as much to me as it does to them because I wasn't there. Because they saw things that I'll never see. And they experienced things that I'll never experience. And they knew people that I'll never know. And this was such a powerful reminder for them. Every time I see a baptism take place, I'm moved. You know why? Because I was there. I know what it was like to be separated from God. I had no peace and no hope and no purpose in life. I remember what it was like when I met Jesus Christ. I remember when he saved me. I've never gotten over that. Matter of fact, Paul wrote this in Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You know what baptism reminds us of? Number one, it reminds us of who I used to be, who we used to be. When a person goes under in baptism, when they go under the water, it reminds me that I died to sin. And when they come up, it reminds me I'm not the person that I once was. I'm a brand new person. I'm changed. I may not be perfect, and I may still sin every once in a while or on a daily basis, but I'm trying to do better, and I'm trying to follow Jesus the best I know how. What happened to them happened to me. It's something to celebrate. It also reminds me that Jesus Christ lived on this earth and died a very real death. When they come up out of the water, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is alive, that he didn't stay buried, he didn't stay dead, and he's alive in me. He lives inside of me. It's a powerful reminder. And I would encourage all of us, as we go into 2021, what is your next step? Don't just hunker down in 2021 because we're coming out of 2020 and 2020 wasn't the greatest year. And so we're just kind of still trying to figure it all out. I would encourage you, like, what is God calling you? What is your next step as a Christian? For some of you, it's this matter of baptism. Some of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, either in person or online or someplace else. And you need to, your next step is to go public for Jesus in your faith. That's your next step. For some of you, maybe that's not your next step. For some of you, it's you need to start serving. For some of you, it's you need to start giving. For some of you, it's you need to forgive that person that God continually puts on your mind that you need to forgive. For some of you, it may be a totally different next step that God is pressing down on you. But what is your next step? Don't just stagnate where you are, but continue to let him push you out of your comfort zone, because every time we make a change, it's uncomfortable. Every time we take a next step, it's uncomfortable. Every time we start taking a step, the enemy tells us not to do it. What is your next step? And for some of you, it might be to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. To enter 2021, trusting in him instead of yourself, to give your life to him and say, God, I'm done fighting.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.